This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org.
It's all relative.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. Once upon a time, when the price of oil dropped $7 in 3 days, it was a pretty big deal. Now it's a regular occurrence. Despite this week's drop, oil is still trading above $133 a barrel this morning. The story right now seems to be whether the U.S. can impose new regulations on oil trading. For example, limiting the number of contracts big-time investors can buy at once. The idea is to get some of the speculation out of the market. Stephen Beer joins us from London. Stephen, I understand one thing U.S. regulators are working on is something called the London loophole.
Well, the American regulator, the CFTC, has just told Congress that it's going to attempt to impose its regulations on this contract traded in London, because the feeling is that US-based oil traders are evading the American regulations, dealing directly with London.
But can a US regulator regulate trading in Britain?
Well, that's that is the $64,000 question. The CFTC says they're going to push ahead with this, and this loophole could be closed down within 3 months. But the exchange here in London says, yes, we'll accept these American regulations if the British regulator says it's okay. The British regulator is known to be very reluctant to do this. However, what it said this morning was, we're going to consult with the market and make a decision.
Well, I would imagine Britain and the U.S. share a common interest here, which is the price of oil.
Indeed, but the regulator here in London does not believe that it is speculative activity that is principally responsible for the rising price of oil. The regulator in the past has spoken on this subject and has said, we think there is a lot of hot money pouring into this market, but this is basically a matter of supply and demand.
All right, Stephen Beard in London, thank you.
Okay, Scott.
As for the stock markets in Asia, stocks gained about 1% overall today. But in Europe, shares are down about that much. Yesterday, the Dow fell 108 points, almost 1%, to 12,160. The Nasdaq dropped 17, and the S&P 500 lost 9 points. Today, Congress holds a hearing on global warming and our dependence on foreign oil. It's a chance for advocates of smart growth to show off what they're up to. Sarah Gardner has more from our sustainability desk.
What do Abu Dhabi and Greensburg, Kansas have in common? They're both spearheading green development projects and will report their progress. Abu Dhabi is building the world's first zero-carbon city, no cars allowed, and powered by solar energy. Greensburg, destroyed by a tornado last year, is trying to rebuild as the country's first platinum city. Municipal buildings will meet the highest standards of the U.S. Green Building Council. Kim Aldefer is the town's recovery coordinator.
Building sustainable was actually an idea before the tornado even happened. What the tornado did was to allow us to start at ground zero.
Smart growth advocates like David Goldberg foresee not only more energy-efficient building, but a backlash against sprawl.
That's where the market is clearly going. It was going that way before the high gas prices, and now the high gas prices have triggered a stampede.
Gas prices are already exacerbating falling home values in the exurbs of major cities. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
If you think your breakfast cereal is shrinking, there's probably nothing wrong with you. It is. Kellogg's is using smaller packages for some of its popular brands, Fruit Loops, Apple Jacks, Corn Pop, stuff like that. The company is trying to deal with higher costs, but of course, you're paying the same for the smaller box.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Areva, solutions for producing CO2-free energy and transmitting and distributing electricity. Online at us.areva.com and by gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about business at gather.com. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, Online at shrm.org.
One reason stocks fell yesterday was this warning from Goldman Sachs. The credit crisis is far from over. Losses from mortgage and lending problems won't peak until next year, and banks will need another $65 billion to cover losses. Ouch. But here's a less painful take on the credit market from commentator Will Wilkinson.
It used to be a lot harder to borrow money. You'd have to grovel to your rich uncle or talk with some guy named Rocco whose debt collection techniques emphasized mangled fingers. These days, it's hard not to have a credit card. Home loans are within easier reach, and there's even such a thing as a reverse mortgage. And if you find yourself in a tight spot at the end of the month, there's always a payday loan. Last week in his New York Times column, David Brooks complained that our increased reliance on personal debt is a sign of rampant decadence. But I say we need to give credit credit where credit is due. Saving and borrowing are both transfers from one stage of life to another. We begin at the bottom in our 20s and slowly work our way up until income peaks in our early 60s. Then we retire and live off savings and pension checks. When we're young, we typically need a lot more than we make. When we're a bit older, in our peak earning years, we typically make a lot more than we need. That's why it's rational for younger adults, who might need to pay for an education, a car, or a house, to borrow money from their future flush selves. The difference between borrowing and saving is paying to use money now versus being paid for waiting and letting others use it. Credit markets allow us to distribute consumption more evenly and more optimally over our lives. That leaves us better off than we would have been without them. Of course, managing debt can be complicated, and it's important to be responsible. But it also looks like we're doing fairly well. According to a new Gallup poll, 60% of Americans say they usually pay the full balance on their credit cards each month, and the percentage of people who carry balances is going down. And how about this virtue of thrift stuff? Does credit make us self-indulgent and lazy? Well, my student loan debt isn't paying itself off.
Will Wilkinson is with the Cato Institute. You can find a link to his blog on our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.